It's a pleasure to have Police Constable Randy Crawford from the Oxford OPP join us once again for another Tip Tuesday. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, everybody.
It's nice to have you with us once again. I have to mention off the top here because one of the tips that you provided us with last time, we were talking about the Highway Traffic Act and the outside of speeding, what was the largest sort of area that you saw people not in compliance with? And you were talking about people in vehicle registrations. My brother was mentioning to me, I got to get my license renewed. And I thought, well, my birthday's before yours. I should check. And, you know, it's funny. So I noticed my license is coming up, my health card, and I took my registration in. And as I was reading it, I handed it to the lady and said, this looks like I've been out of compliance for a year. Am I reading that right? And she said, yes.
Ooh, no. Dan was breaking the law.
I'm in compliance now.
You are now. Yes.
On all fronts.
Yes.
So well. I'm good. But it's just funny. And I'm going to be signing up for the, because you can get the email notifications. Because otherwise you don't really get a notification. But that was something that I've learned already.
That's wonderful. Yes. And again, that's part of my reason for being here is none of us are perfect. We're all human.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, if we can all help each other out, at the end of the day, we're going to be compliant, right? And that's
absolutely
what it's all about.
And so, we all learn from Tip Tuesday. Exactly. That's the great thing about this. So,
exactly. good.
Randy, the first question I have for you, it's actually related to one of our top news stories recently.
Okay.
So the 403 between Woodstock and Brantford is going to go up to 110 kilometers per hour, I believe, sometime this summer. So what are your thoughts on this? I know some people might kind of have their concerns because, you know, people are going faster. Like, how are we going to handle this?
Yes. Yeah, so great question. July 12th is the date, I'm pretty sure is what I read, that they're going to be increasing that speed. Now, they've been doing this for several years over different sections of the 400 series. So they've been doing them as pilots and they gather information and they see, you know, is this safe? So my understanding from, you know, my connections with the Ministry of Transportation Office is that the results were positive. They were positive in the fact that these roads have been designed to be able to go that speed, 110 kilometers an hour. And to do it in a safe fashion. Now, what that means, though, is that for all of you who've been going 110 this whole time in 100, right, you were breaking the law, but now you're not, right? You're going to be in compliance at 110. That does not mean you now go 120 or 130, right? That is not what this is all about.
Right.
It's about the government's trying to, make traveling more efficient for Ontario drivers, and also there are other provinces in Canada who are at these higher speeds, so they're just bringing us up to speed, so to speak. sorry.
I see what you did there.
I love the pun.
Oh man, that's funny.
So last part I wanted to talk about that is just a reminder then that stunt driving penalties are going to continue to apply then at 150 kilometers an hour.
Right.
So that's 40 kilometers over. Right. So that is a automatic 30-day roadside license suspension, a 14-day vehicle impoundment. And then upon conviction, it's a 6 demerit point penalty, a fine of between $2,000 and $10,000. There is potential jail time that you could serve. And you're going to lose your license for a minimum of 1 year.
Ouch.
So again, all those things to keep in mind. At the end of the day, the reason that these rules are put into place is for safety.
Absolutely.
Right? Remember that the higher speed you're going, the higher the risk of a fatal or serious injury if there is a collision.
So another question I have for you ties into, I guess, one of the top news stories we had Monday morning. Mm-hmm. There was a very serious crash in Zora Township on Friday, and it closed off a very kind of high traffic area for several hours. And one of our listeners has asked us if a road closed sign is up due to an accident, can I go past it if I live before the accident?
Good question. Not an easy one for me to answer, mainly because I know it's a very, very unpopular answer I'm going to give you. Hmm. However, that's why I'm so grateful for this platform, because I can explain the reasons.
Okay.
So that's a really great example to bring up. So we are sincerely sorry for having to inconvenience people when we put these road closure signs up. But at the end of the day, they're being put up there for safety foremost, but also security and evidence preservation.
Mm.
So what we have to remember sometimes is, like, you might think that you work close by or you live close by and you might have heard that the collision is, you know, wherever it is. But sometimes when we're investigating a collision, it can span over kilometers.
Right.
Right. So we're gathering information to see, and we want to be able to gather all that information without extra tire marks, without foot traffic, right? So that's one thing to just remember. The other thing is, like, they're put up for a fatal or serious collision. And also, they could be closed because sometimes people fail to remain at a collision.
Oh.
So it could be that we're out there trying to find that person or persons.
They might have fled on foot or something,
yeah.
too,
that's
right?
That's correct. Yeah. We could have our canine out there. We could have our emergency response team out there. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we don't want people walking or driving in an area where this mm-hmm. person could pop out.
Right.
You know, yeah. you could get injured or you could throw off the trace, right?
Yeah. Of, jeez.
So there are all those things to think about. And I know, you know, it's very, very inconvenient to people. And what I want to say, and I mean this with all sincerity and kindness, but at the end of the day, please remember that you're still alive to be inconvenienced.
That's yeah. right. Yeah.
Right? And that's what it comes down to. And also know that if you or your loved one was to be involved in a collision,
yeah,
we want to give every single person justice, right? Yeah. So we want to be able to serve everyone well and be able to investigate that thoroughly. So just think of that again, you know, when you're frustrated with us, you know, please know that we're not doing it because we want to. We're going to reopen that road as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. But just kind of have that in the back of your mind that, yes, I know you're inconvenienced, but thankfully, you know, you're still alive, you're still well, and the roads will eventually, you know, reopen. And we will update that as a media officer as soon as we're made aware. So if you follow us on X at OPP _WR or at OPP West on Facebook, and I know you guys do a fantastic job with always keeping the listeners. You really, truly do. So all those ways are to be able to find out when we reopen. But again, please know we sincerely do not want to have these roads closed any longer than we do. So thank you for that question. I'm sorry. I know it's not the answer you probably want. But those are for the reasons.
Certainly gives a very interesting perspective and puts it more in the front of your mind.
It makes sense.
Why. It makes
right?
a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah. We're speaking with Police Constable Randy Crawford from Oxford OPP. It's another Tip Tuesday. Michael had a question about essentially off-road vehicles like snowmobiles, golf carts, motorized trail bikes. Can these be driven on city streets or county roads? What's your response to that?
Again, I'm loving all these questions and you're giving me the hard ones. Again, sincerely, I do appreciate all these questions and the opportunity to explain them. So in this answer, so in Ontario, it's the municipalities that have the authority to permit or prohibit use of off-road vehicles.
Okay.
So I'm going to go into a little bit more detail in a moment, but my quick answer is always check with your municipal bylaw to find out if you're allowed to. Okay.
Right.
So you can also, there's a Off-Road Vehicles Act and a Motorized Snow Vehicles Act.
Hmm.
And all of that information can be viewed at mto.gov.on.ca. So you can go to that website and you can look at that for more thorough information than the answer I'll be able to give today. So if it is not prohibited in your municipality, for any road usage, all operators must be at least 16 and have a minimum G2 license.
Ah.
And this includes driving it directly across the road. So oftentimes okay. people say, you know, I have a farm, I want to go from one farm to the other. They have to be 16,
right.
okay, to be able to cross that. And you must wear an approved helmet. The vehicles must be registered,
yes.
plated, and insured.
No
passengers under the age of 8. Are able to be on that on the roadway.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only have as many passengers as seats. So if this is a two-seater, you need to make sure you don't have, you know, yeah. two younger people or smaller people on the back. It's two people.
So random question, would this mm-hmm. also work for golf carts? Would they be considered an off-road vehicle, I guess?
That, again, you have to check with the municipality.
Yeah.
I don't want to give you wrong information, but I can tell you that I am going to be doing some media posts in the very near future with information on all of these separate topics.
Okay,
so,
perfect.
You know, the ATVs,
wow.
the golf carts,
yep.
because these are questions that are coming in and I want to be able to spend a good chunk of time on each one
yes.
separately.
Perfect.
So that's to come. So you also have to have your headlights and taillights on between sunset and sunrise or when the weather is unfavorable.
Right.
And the last point here is that, so if you're driving on a roadway that is 50 kilometers or less, the maximum speed you can go is 20 kilometers. And then if the posted speed limit is more than 50, then that's the maximum. So
okay.
if it's an 80, you can only still go 50. Keeping in mind that, you know, you're prohibited from driving on any 400 series highways.
Of
no
course.
Matter.
Yeah, that would make
yeah,
sense.
That's insanely dangerous.
So, yes. And you must drive in the same direction as traffic, on the shoulder, wear a variable, and if not, just as close to the right of the roadway as you can. Now, oftentimes people ask about, you know, well, I've got my own property, you know, I don't go on the roadway, but I want to be able to on my own property. That's fine.
Okay.
Just keep in mind that children under the age of 12 may only legally operate on that private land if occupied by the vehicle's owner.
Right.
Oh. And is under close supervision.
Supervision, yeah.
So last point of this is that the Smart Ride Safe ORV or ATV handbook is also available online too. So
excellent.
If you can type that in your search engine, like all these things are great pieces of information to help educate yourself further.
No, lots of good points. So. And a final question from Kelly. This has to do with intersection turning. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about pedestrian safety here as well. But if you're at a controlled intersection, we'll say the corner of Dundas and Wilson Huron, which is the busiest one in Oxford County.
Yeah.
If I want to turn left onto Dundas Street, once the light turns green, am I able to inch into the intersection and wait until the traffic clears?
So the most solid answer to that, I'll say, and legal answer to that is no.
Okay.
You cannot enter a intersection unless you know that you can leave it safely.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I was always taught take possession of the intersection, right?
So when you are able to,
yeah.
When you see that there isn't a traffic that's going to impede with you leaving safely. So let's say, for example, there's one car coming your way. You can probably estimate that,
yeah.
You know what, I'm going to be able to enter this intersection and I'm going to be able to make that left turn.
Right.
So in that case, absolutely, right? The person, you both, you know, pull forward, you take ownership. Yes. You indicate that you're going to be turning left.
Yep.
Once they have gone through because they have the right of way, then you can make your turn because you were able to do it before the green light changed.
Oh, that's a good point.
If you are to the point where there is a whole line of traffic and you're like, I don't know that if I start this left turn, I'm going to be able to finish it. Then you have to wait at that, like that white line or that where the crosswalk is before entering. And the reason we're doing this, and again, I know it's inconvenient to people and I understand that, but at the end of the day, it's safety. Okay. We have so many intersection related collisions. So that is why this is being enforced, right? So if you are not doing these things, you can be charged with a few different things. So you can be charged with, you know, fail to yield or make a turn not in safety. And these charges are about $110 and either 2 or 3 demerit points. So you want to make sure that, again, if you're entering, you can exit safely. The other point of this I actually want to talk about is that that includes going straight. So if you're going straight through a green light, and there's a whole line of traffic in front of you, you have to be mindful that one person up there might be turning right or left and might hold up that line of traffic.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Ken, you can't just go in there and sit in the middle of the intersection.
Oh, that drives me crazy when people do that.
Right, right. So, again, you have to wait. And if there's a line of traffic and they're, you know, slowed down, you have to wait until that person's cleared so that you are not going to block the
intersection.
It's
just like when you're like on a really busy road and let's say there's a railroad crossing. You don't want to be stuck on the railroad crossing.
Exactly.
That so you have to like take that into account.
Absolutely. That's an excellent way to think about it for sure.
Yeah.
And so the other piece there too is that, I know what I want to say. Sorry.
Yeah.
So this is a pet peeve of mine, I'm sure everybody. So when you're turning left, let's say, and you're turning from a two lane and you're turning to a two lane, whether you're left or right, please, people, turn into the lane closest to you.
Yes.
Okay, what I see happening so often, personally and professionally, is people are turning, let's say left, and they're going to the furthest right lane, which maybe they're thinking, okay, it's the slower lane, I'm going to go there. But what's happening is that people are then turning right from the opposite direction, and then there could be a collision.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So again, just remember that you're going to be turning to the closest lane to you. And then this brings me to the pedestrian part. I just, in case the person that was asking the question just wanted a reminder of that or anyone else, we have to remember that when you are going to be at a crosswalk and you see a pedestrian crossing, you need to make sure that they clear the whole roadway. Again, I know this is inconvenient. I know it's frustrating. It takes time. But if you were to enter a intersection and the person hasn't completely cleared, you can get charged for that, right?
Okay.
So, and it's a hefty fine. I believe it's $300 and 3 or 4 demerit points. And if it's in a community safety zone, it's even higher.
Wow.
Right? So again, and all of these rules have been put in place just because someone has been injured, right? So at the end of the day, we just want everyone to be safe. And, you know, people who have been injured in these types of situations, they'll tell you, right? Like, please, right. please do these things. You know, a lot of us, you know, people have been fortunate to not have been involved in an incident. So you just kind of can't understand right. why these rules are in place. But I can tell you, for the victims and for us officers and first yeah. responders who have attended, you know, we see why these rules are, you know, needed.
So, yep.
so again, yeah. we're doing it for your safety. So...
Wow. There's been a lot that we've learned yes, here today. Randy.
Covered a lot
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is wonderful. And that's what Tip Tuesday is all about. Yeah. If you have questions for Randy mm-hmm. that you'd like to have answered, we have a portal on our website. You can use talk or text as well. We'll have another Tip Tuesday coming up at the end of May. Randy, wonderful to have you in today. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you again. And everyone, I hope you have a wonderfully safe month.